Learning from Jesus. This is part two of two. Last week we read that the prophet Ezekiel was told by God Almighty, "Hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." When I began, I said my purpose was to give warning from God, or more specifically, to let you know that there were warnings from God, particularly in the New Testament, for my friends who claim to be only New Testament Christians. They don't like, or seem not to like, God's warnings through Ezekiel, or God's warnings through Jeremiah, God's warnings through Hosea, and many of them don't like God's warnings through Moses, so we're reading that other prophet, Jesus Christ, who gave warnings to his people. So people who claim they are New Testament prophets should recognize, New Testament Christians should recognize that there is a New Testament prophet who gives the same kind of warning as the New Testament prophet. Turn to Matthew 13, because there may be a few who wonder why Pastor Emery keeps repeating that Jesus Christ is a prophet. Read this as if I'm reading from a prophet, rather than from what you also know, that Jesus Christ who is the Savior of his people. Matthew 13, Jesus Christ referred to himself obliquely as a prophet, beginning in verse 54, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph, and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Did not any mighty works there because belief." So he used the term prophet in relation to his inability to do work where they knew him personally. Turn to Matthew 21, story of Jesus entering Jerusalem. Then we read in verse 9, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." In verse 45 and 46, at the end of a parable that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, we read, "And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet." Turn over to John chapter 6, in verse 14, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." John 9, after Christ opened the eyes of the blind man, we read in verse 17, "They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet." Then turn to Acts 3, where Peter is preaching of Jesus. This is after Pentecost and after the resurrection and ascension, of course. And Peter is preaching, and we'll read part of it, verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Now there is a prophet like unto Moses. So we can ask the question of our New Testament Christian friends, will ye refuse to hear Moses? And then a second question, will ye refuse to hear the prophet like unto Moses, which is Jesus Christ? And I think it's about time that some of these ministers began to understand that God had told his people to hear the prophet, not just one, not just a few, but the prophet. I believe this is a warning from the prophet Peter that those who would not hear this prophet like unto Moses, who is Jesus Christ, he said here, shall be destroyed from among the people. Wonder if that's another one of those warnings that our friend Falwell and Bailey Smith could give to their Jewish friends. Well, anyway, my main purpose here was to show you that there are warnings from Jesus Christ, just as there were warnings in the prophets of old, of things that would happen on the earth. We ended in Matthew 10 last time, so let's go back there. We read in verse 25, "It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?" And this is only one of those things where we read in the New Testament that we, as the followers of Jesus Christ, would be mistreated and hated, and possibly some of us would be slain because we are Christians, because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Now, last time I mentioned some things that are happening in the United States which are setting the stage for what I believe may be persecutions of Christians in America that will rival the persecutions under world communism. One of those I read last time was a way of going out and coming in the back door against Christian people. Here's another one. It's not directed at Christians per se, but it is legislation which is being established and set up which can be used against Christians. This is an article written by some people from the National Health Federation, and the headline is "Postal System Threatens First Amendment." Now, they're thinking in terms of their own publications primarily, but here is a few words in the article as to what authority the Postal Department would have and what it could do if this legislation passes. It's called the Postal Service Authorities Bill, House Number 3973, and in the Senate it has a number 1407. It's not yet passed, at least at the time I'm giving this sermon. It says here the postal system is lobbying mightily for the bill. They want, as the bill specifies, the right to, quote, "inspect or copy any books, records, or other objects that the Postal Service has reason to believe relate to any matter under investigation by the Postal Service." Then they go on to point out that under the proposed law, the postal system can demand any article offered by mail and automatically judge the defendant guilty if he doesn't cooperate, and they can impose a fine of up to $10,000 per day for every day that you do not cooperate with the postal authority. It says in the bill that it can be construed as probable cause if you refuse to give them what they ask for. It could be construed as probable cause that you are in violation of the regulations, and you would then automatically be excluded from using the United States Postal Service. There's much more in the article, and I won't take time to read all of it, but at least Kilpatrick of the Chicago Tribune wrote an editorial on it titled "Mail Cops Have Lost Their Marbles." And I'll explain just a little further what the bill authorizes. It supposedly is aimed at people who offer fraudulent materials by advertising, and then you write for it in the mail, such as something to grow hair on your head if you're getting bald, and something to take the wrinkles out of your face if you're getting old, and so on. That supposedly is what it's aimed at. But the bill is written in such a way that the U.S. Postal Department would have total authority to decide that something going through the mails is not in the government interest. When they decide that, if the bill is passed, then they come to your place of business and they demand to see I'll read part of this. It will enlarge their powers to include unlimited subpoena powers to gain access to your personal business records, including the names and addresses of your customers, and to impose outrageous fines for noncompliance. If you don't cooperate with their demands, they can close you down with a stop order. In other words, no trial, no charge, no judge, no jury. They come to your place of business, and don't think that a place of business will not be construed to be a church some future time, and demand to see all of your records, period. If you don't give them the records, they, the postal department, not the police, not the judges, not the local law enforcement authorities, but the postal department, can levy a fine on you of up to $10,000 per day. Now, how long do you think it would take to close down certain churches in America that they won't like? And the bill actually, by the way, has a provision that the decisions of the Postal Department are not subject to judicial review. What that means, if they levied the fine on you, you couldn't even go to court and get the fine listed. You would have to pay it, period, and your congressman and the United States House of Representatives and the Senate are actually considering passing that bill. Now, I believe, personally, that the people behind this are not after some little businesses that are swindling people out of money with materials and goods which don't do what they say they'll do. Because if they wanted to stop them, they could have stopped them long ago, and they're operating literally carte blanche in the United States. I believe after the churches. And I believe this is coming to pass in the fulfillment of prophecies given by Jesus Christ, that they would treat his followers like they treated him. And if you take the time to read your New Testament, you'll find they tried to shut Jesus up, they tried to arrest him, they eventually put him to death for his teachings, and then they did the same thing to his disciples until they drove the Christians out of Palestine by their attempts to shut them up and prevent them from preaching. So I say that in the 20th century, the same thing can happen. I can see the signs of it coming to pass as these things come to pass in our own government. All right, here is another warning that Jerry Falwell and Bailey Smith, and I apologize for picking on those two fellows, but they're the ones that stick their heads up and talk about all their Jewish friends. Here's another warning that they perhaps could give to their Jewish friends in this same chapter, Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is heaven. Now I would have a rather difficult time of preaching to the Jews on that. They'd call me anti-Semitic, but there are quite a number of organizations in America who profess to be missions to the Jews. Well, instead of going on radio and television and telling us what great people the Jews are, they should be reading these verses of scriptures to the Jewish people and tell them what the warnings are in the New Testament. Verse 34 through 36, additional warning. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. We've discussed that in past times about the betrayal of our people, and Jesus prophesied this would come to pass. Matthew 11 has a warning that as a preacher I have to ponder about once in a while, and sure other ministers have the same thing. When I preach on a radio station in a certain city for a while and the response is so little that we have to drop the radio broadcast and leave that city, here's what Jesus told his disciples. Matthew 11, we'll begin reading in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Just think. Jesus had been preaching in these cities, and they did not repent. He said, if I'd have done in Tyre what I did here, that city would have repented. Remember, Tyre was destroyed according to God's prophecy for its iniquity and wickedness. And I say this, that God Almighty has done enough mighty works in every city in America so that every inhabitant of the cities of America should have seen God's mighty works and repented. And they have not repented. This is what Jesus said to cities there after just a few years of preaching. Listen to what he said. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted under heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sidon, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Just think of the portent of this warning by the Christ to whole cities. The mighty works of Jesus were done in them, and they ignored him, and he said, Tyre and Sidon and Sodom will suffer less in the day of judgment than cities that turn down the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a warning you could preach on for hours. This is a New Testament prophet, Jesus, sending warning to the people of destruction, even in the day of judgment, for refusal to hear the Word of God. They say, I'm not preaching the sermons that are involved in this. I'm just pointing you to the Scriptures. Prophet warning. Turn to Matthew 12, another one, those who reject him, verse 38 through 42. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. He's reminding them that Nineveh repented when Jonah came out of the belly of the whale. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. How much more warning do people need from the words of the prophet Jesus, that if they will not hear the prophet like unto Moses, they will come under a greater judgment than Nineveh and Tyre and Sidon and Sodom. I wonder how many people will preach to the Jews and the rejectors of Christ out of Matthew 10:33-34 and Matthew 11:20-24 or Matthew 12:38-42. You could have several hours of preaching. Think. Christians should hear word at Jesus' mouth and give them warning from him. Turn to Matthew 13. We'll read just one of the parables. This is the teaching in this chapter of the parable of the seed. Turn on to verse 47, the parable of the net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world, or the end of this age, in the Greek. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now that is a glorious promise of a cleansed kingdom, but it's a two-part promise, which is in effect a warning. Number one, there is a warning to the righteous that the wicked and the unjust will live among them in the kingdom at the end of the age. And there is a warning to the wicked of their removal from that kingdom. So it's a two-edged sword, a warning to both the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, the kingdom preachers in America generally are the only ones who correctly identify the kingdom as being here on the earth in this time. So we can see that the unjust are among the just in the kingdom. However, most of the clergy ignore this warning because they equate the kingdom either with a far-off heaven or with the cleansed kingdom, and they simply refuse to give a warning to Christians in this age that they will live among the wicked and the wicked will persecute them. Instead, they say, oh no, the kingdom's all future, and you're living on the earth now, and don't worry, because when the wicked really get riled up and start coming against you, why, Jesus will come and take you off to heaven. I know I mention the rapture preaching quite often. I'm probably one of the most anti-rapture preachers in the United States. But I recognize how that rapture doctrine conceals the truth of God. You cannot really make sense out of the Bible and get the truth of the Bible if you believe the false rapture doctrine. It totally conceals it from you. And here is a doctrine here, a teaching of Jesus Christ, a prophet of Nazareth of Galilee, that the wicked would live right among the just in the kingdom, and they would live there until God sent his angels to remove them out. Matthew 16, verses 6 and 7, Then Jesus said unto them, and he's speaking to his disciples, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. He used the word leaven, and they thought he was talking about bread. They misunderstood, so he had to go on. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? In other words, why make the error? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then verse 12, Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now there's another sermon that someone needs to preach to some of these New Testament Christians to warn them of the doctrines of the Pharisees. How many of you people have ever sat in a fundamentalist church and heard a minister preach a sermon warning you of the doctrines of the Judaistic religion? No hand. Yet Jesus gave a warning to his disciples. He taught it in a parable and then explained it so they would understand. They, Christian disciples, the followers of Jesus, were to be warned of and beware of the doctrines of the religion of Judaism. And instead today we receive no warning from the clergy. In fact, I've heard ministers, I imagine, scores of times on radio, and I read their literature. They will say, oh, the Jews believe just like we do, except they haven't accepted Jesus as the Messiah. That is totally false. Jews do not believe like we do. They have an entirely different religion. In fact, their religion toward Christianity, when it is taught by them in their ways that they do, it breeds permissiveness and immorality. It breeds murder, sarcasm, suspicion, doubt, unbelief, anti-law and anti-Christian attitudes, and eventually rebellion among our own people against Jesus Christ. They take our young people in our schools and colleges and in our churches And day after day, month after month, year after year, they create doubt in their minds by their doctrine. And Jesus said we were to beware of them. And 9 times out of 10, you go into a church and you spend some time there, you'll never hear that minister give you any warning whatsoever of the doctrines of the religion of Judaism. Another long sermon. By the way, most of the doctrines of Judaism of the Pharisees are aimed at the children. You perhaps realize that. You older people, you're not subject to this so much because you have lived on the earth for a long time. You have studied God's Word for a long time, and you've seen the world as it is, so you're not as easily fooled as a 6-year-old or a 12-year-old or an 18-year-old. So they aim it mainly at children through the television, movies, magazines, corruption in the school, drugs, or whatever. So turn to Matthew 18. We read in verse 2, "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them." Then he taught some things that had to do or were related to children, including verse 6. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now there is a warning to those who would corrupt the children, the little children of God's people Israel. And this land is crawling with people who deliberately spend their lives corrupting and destroying our children. And who goes to them with a warning from the prophet Jesus from the New Testament and tells them it would be better if they had a millstone around their neck and drowned in the sea than to do what they're doing to our children? Oh, I know we have great crusades. They're going to end this and they're going to end that. Going to stop this, and they claim we should have liberty to do this. How many times do they go to the corruptors themselves and warn them of the judgment of God, what they are doing to our little children? Turn to Matthew 23. Now, I won't take time to read all of this. Here's a whole chapter of Jesus the prophet warning the scribes and Pharisees. And if you don't believe that, you ask some rabbi if Judaism is Phariseeism, and some of them will admit, yes, it is. In fact, they admit it in their own writings to their own people, that the religion of Judaism is actually the religion of the Pharisees. So when Jesus says Pharisee, modern term for it is Judaism. Matthew 23 is a whole chapter on that. I won't take time to read it, of course. It's 38 verses of the most terrible condemnation of the Jews that you can read anywhere. No wonder the Jews say that the New Testament is an anti-Semitic book. I'll just read a couple of verses. Verse 33, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify." Is this a prophecy? Of course it is. It's the warning from Jesus Christ that the Pharisees would kill and crucify the followers of Jesus, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Jews say the New Testament is an anti-Semitic book. They mean it's an anti-Jewish book, and I agree. You cannot read all of the New Testament without realizing that Jesus Christ, the prophet from Nazareth, condemned Judaism more than any modern writer or Klan or Nazi writer could ever condemn it. No wonder they hate Jesus Christ and the New Testament. In Matthew 24, this is verse after verse of warning of things that would come to pass. I'll read just a couple of them again. In verse 9 of Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Hated because of Jesus Christ. verse 19 through 22, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that get stuck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. And then he goes on to give a warning that false prophets would rise and actually preach that Christ had already returned before he returned. And he said this would be a time of tribulation such as never was, a warning from the prophet Jesus. Here is a warning to those who claim to be Christians but who are unfaithful in their calling in the same chapter, beginning in verse 48. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have I been reading the words of the Jesus that is taught in most churches today? Apparently not. This is not the Jesus of churchianity. This is the Jesus of the Bible, who in his love and his mercy for his people spelled out to us exactly what we should expect here upon the earth until he returns. I don't think this is a cruel thing to tell people. I think it's merciful to let people know where they stand in the eyes of the world, that the world would hate you if you were a Christian because of Jesus Christ. They won't commit their acts against you openly in many cases. They're very devious, and they go around, as we've been reading here, and try to destroy you without you really knowing they are your enemy. Now, I have revealed at least a half a dozen sermons in the New Testament on warnings from Jesus Christ. So when Pastor Emery gets back into the old prophets and begins to read out of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, words of Moses warning his people, I don't want too many people coming to me and saying, oh, Pastor Emery, always reading out of the Old Testament all of these negative things about how we're going to be persecuted, and as Christians we have to live a life in testimony of Jesus Christ, and we may even die for it. No, you should read the good, wonderful things out of the New Testament. Blessings, no problems, nothing happens, living on clouds and wafting off to heaven. Oh, the message of the New Testament is the same as the Old. I'm going to close in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 3, verse 17, which we read at the beginning. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. And I pray God that the ministers will see that their duty is to warn God's people from his word, from God's word. Turn to Jeremiah 23, another prophet in the Old Testament that many ministers of churchianity would like to ignore. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I believe when he was warning here of that, he was not saying that the ministers would drive the flock away from the minister. That isn't what they do. They drive the flock away from God Almighty by leading them into wrong pastures, things which are untrue and false doctrine, and they scatter them away from God Almighty. Verse 13, I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Here is a warning from the prophet that it would be the ministers or the shepherds over Israel which would cause Israel to go astray. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. they strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wicked ways. Now this fits what I was saying during the last few minutes, that ministers who gloss over the acts of the enemy, in fact actually pat them on the back and tell them what good guys they are, when they're actually persecuting and attempting to destroy Christians, what they are doing is strengthening the hands of the evildoers. When Billy Graham went to Moscow and came back and told millions of people who trust him that the communists are not persecuting Christians, what did he do? He strengthened the hands of the communists, that none doth return from his wickedness. We found at least a half a dozen places in the New Testament where Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell and Bailey Smith and all of these other men who claim to have some sort of fraternity with the Jews and the Antichrist could actually preach to them and warn them that they should turn from their wicked ways. And yet they not only give them no warning to turn, they do not even warn our people of what the wicked are doing among us. In fact, they put our own people to sleep. It says they strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. You remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? And Jesus in the New Testament indicated that Sodom and Gomorrah would stand better in the judgment than some of these people who were doing the things that he warned of. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Now, I believe that any honest and sincere reader of the Word of God, by the time he read this over some extended period of time, would recognize that the major enemy of America, the major enemy of God's Israel people, is not communism, but the false prophets who stand in the pulpits and lie to our people. The communist or the red Bolshevik enemy of America would have no standing and no power if they were not protected and covered up and our people misled by the men who stand in the pulpit. God said through Jeremiah, it's these people who scatter the sheep, who hide the Word of God, who deceive our people, mislead us, take away the Word of God, which is our only power and strength, from us, who are our destroyer. We need every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. People are not getting it. That's why they're weak, that's why they're destroyed. That Word of God will come. It is here. God has placed in our hands millions of copies of the warnings of Jesus Christ. Pray God we take heed. Our Father and our God, we do thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that thou hast given us this great and wonderful book, and thou hast done all these things that are written. We just pray that you'll help us believe, help us see, help us to know and understand and give warning to others that thou art God in Israel, that this nation and all the world is in your hands, you're working out your purposes. Who can disannul it? Father, we pray for mercy, we pray for help, we pray for your spirit and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, we pray in Jesus' name.